I'm wondering if you have a love-hate relationship with habits. I know I sure do. I mean, I'm not a big fan when I find myself biting my fingernails or snacking mindlessly on chocolate. But that same habit mechanism in your brain can also make exercise or cleaning or staying on top of your email something that almost feels automatic and effortless. So are you ready to crack the code on creating good habits? That's what we're doing today. Welcome to the Life Organized Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Layton, and as the creator of both the Life Organized Podcast and the Life Organized membership, I teach busy moms how to get organized, manage their time, and master their mindset. I'm a mom and wife too, so I know how overwhelming it can all be. But living an organized life means you don't have to sacrifice anything. With the right systems and tools, you can get your home and family running like a well-oiled machine and still have time for all the other things you love to do. If you're new here, DM me the word FAST on Instagram at @JLTheHappyGal and I will send you my top tips to help you get organized fast. We'll cover clutter, time management, and give you empowering new perspectives that will make organizing your life so much easier. All right. Let's jump into today's episode. Hey there, welcome. I'm so happy that you are here today. We're going to talk about habits, which is a conversation we can never have too many times. When you're living an organized life, you rely on so many pieces of your life coming together, and it's just impossible to manually do it all. We have to put some things on autopilot. We have to know how to create good habits so that these habits are the things that can run our lives. I know I don't need to sell you on the idea. I know that you already know that good habits are something that you want. In fact, I love asking this question of my clients. If I could wave a magic wand and you suddenly had one or two really great habits in place, what would those be? And I just want you to think about that, because if you can bring this to the forefront of your mind as we have this discussion today, I think you can mentally already start to do a lot of work that's going to help you create these habits that you're wanting. So it may be a healthy habit, you know, some way of taking better care of your body, better sleep, better exercise, better diet, lower stress. It could be something with work. Maybe you have some processes at work that get ahead of you that get kind of difficult, or maybe you run a business or you're growing a business. And so you'd like to see some great things happen there, and you know that habits might be the key to staying on top of some of those things. Maybe there are some habits in your family that you'd like to see, or within your home, just in terms of the way things run, something that will minimize clutter or make sure that we stay on top of certain tasks. Maybe something in your finances. So, you know, the sky's the limit in terms of what habits can do for us, but I'd like you to think about what kind of habit would really be meaningful to you. And I want to throw out a couple of quotes here that I really love that just, you know, put a little more punch in the value of habits. This first one is by author Octavia Butler, and she said, "Forget inspiration. Habit is more dependable. Habits will sustain you whether you're inspired or not." Man, don't we need a little bit of that? I mean, really, how often do you feel inspired to exercise or to check your email or to do the laundry? Like, probably never. Habit is the machine or the vehicle that is going to help you accomplish those things. So I love that quote by Octavia Butler. Another quote that I love by James Clear, of course, the author of Atomic Habits, which is a really hot book on habit forming. I really recommend that one. He said, "Habits are the compound interest of self-improvement." Compound interest is that thing that just builds up over time, and with just a little bit added consistently, you have a really great result. And of course, that's what habits will do for you. So just a little extra juice to get you excited about forming some habits. And as we get started, I'm going to give you a tool that will make it easy for you to remember some different steps in creating a habit. You know, at the Happy Gal, I like everything to be snappy and fun and memorable and easy to pull out of your back pocket so that you can use it when you're ready to work on that specific thing. But before I give you that acronym, we've got to just polish up a conversation that we've had here and there on the podcast about our brain. I think we hit it pretty hard in episodes 6 and 7. When we talked about creating routines, and this conversation is really relevant again today as we're talking about habits. So just for review, it's really great to remember the way our brain works. Our brain is incredible. It is the manager of all systems. It's highly valuable to us in staying alive and remembering things and keeping us out of danger. But it operates in a really peculiar way because it has so much it's in charge of. It has to automate a lot of things. It has to have a program that keeps all of these different systems running, that keeps us automatically scanning our environment for danger without taking away from a lot of our conscious energy, our conscious mind, so that we can do a lot of things at once. So because the brain is so busy with all of the tasks it has to do, you know it doesn't want to have to work any harder than it needs to. So anytime we are creating a habit, we need to do some work up front so that we can create an environment the brain can thrive in. This means it needs to be simple, easy, and fun. It can't be something the brain has to think really hard about. And if we can do that, we're going to set our brain up for success. So today, what I'm going to share with you is a way to create habits that will give you some early steps that we need to take in creating a habit that most people miss. And because they miss those steps, a lot of times there's frustration around creating habits. And I want you to think, without kind of these instructions and these tips, as you've tried to form other habits, has it been frustrating that you've worked hard, but then the habit didn't really stick? And then you felt kind of disenchanted with the task that you're trying to do altogether. Having what I'm about to teach you is going to help you avoid kind of that frustration, that disappointment. And it's also going to help you create a habit that's personalized and customized. So it really does become a habit and work long term and give you that great compound interest that James Clear was talking about. So I'm going to give you the acronym. I'm going to give you the little tool that we use. So a little flashback to English class. What is an acronym? Just a review. An acronym is a word where each letter of the word stands for something different. And you may recognize this acronym. I actually talk about it in episode 6 and 7 because this acronym is a really great tool to help you create routines. But routines and habits are really similar. So we're going to borrow that term from routines, the acronym of PATH. We're actually going to apply it to habits because it works really well, and I think you're going to like what it'll do for you. So what we'll do for the rest of our time together on this episode is just break down that acronym PATH and talk about how we can use it to help us create good habits. Okay, so again, an acronym, every letter stands for a different word. So the P in PATH stands for pick a specific task. Now remember, the brain's got a lot going on. It doesn't want to figure things out. So when you're like, hey, brain, we should exercise, the brain's like, do you want to go for a run, a walk? Or you want to do some sit-ups and push-ups, go to the gym? Like, what do you mean here? And already when we're engaging with the brain in this way, we're starting to lose some momentum from the brain. So we need to come up with what that specific task is going to be before we even ask our brains to get on board with it. So the first step is to pick a specific task, to stay away from something that's vague. Okay, so let's look at a few different examples. Earlier in this episode, we talked about some of the things your magic wand might be giving you if you could instantly have any habit you want. So let's just break this down and talk about what it might look like if, you know, exercise is one of those things that you want to have become a habit. So as we just alluded to, what are we talking about with exercise? Would you like it to be a walk with a friend? Would you like it to be a walk on your treadmill? Would you like to go to the gym 3 times a week? Would you like to do a yoga class online? There are so many different options. So let's just get specific. What does that exercise really look like? What does it really entail? Okay. Next one we'll talk about is keeping your house cleaner or more organized. Okay, this is one where the brain's like, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't really know where you even want me to start. So we're going to tell it where we want it to start. Let's talk about how it could be, you know, cleaning the bathrooms. Maybe you're looking for a bathroom cleaning habit or a laundry habit or just a habit of doing the dishes right after dinner or going through your mail. Okay, so if you're wanting your habit to help you clean your home or keep it in better condition, what do you mean specifically by that? Okay, what if you have a business that you're working on? I really like this example because I have a business and it's easy for me to think I need to work on my business. And already my brain's like, yeah, what do you mean by that? Do you want to write an email? Do you want to do some marketing? Do you want to network? Do you want to work on a podcast episode? Okay, so if you need a good business habit, you want to improve the health of your business with good habits, what specifically are we talking about here? So you might need to be working on sending out more consistent emails. I know if you have a business like mine, that's a pretty important piece. So let's call it that. This is a habit around more consistent emails and move on from there. Okay, so again, we're just trying to narrow it down so that your brain knows exactly what it is that you are requiring it or asking of it to do. Okay, and then I'm just going to throw in another one with our family. I think sometimes we want to have better habits with our families, better relationships, higher quality relationships. So what does that look like? I'm just going to pull one out of thin air again, because that could be so many different things. Again, that's what overwhelms our brain. So let's just say the specific habit that we want to have is to be more present with our children. All right, now the brain can get on board and start problem solving for what that or any of these other examples is going to look like. Okay, so I love just pointing out an experience a client of mine had once where we were working on helping her organize her paper and she just couldn't be consistent with it. Week to week, we'd troubleshoot, we would try to simplify the steps, all of the different pieces we're going to talk about today with this PATH acronym. But when we finally pinpointed one thing, this was the problem that was causing the backlog and the disruption with the habit of going through her paper. And it was that she had this idea that as long as she was going through her mail, she might as well get on the computer and plan her menu for the week and then order groceries. And then while she's on the computer, she might as well go through her email inbox as well. And suddenly, this one task of going through your paper became not specific, but included a lot of other things. And so, of course, when it came down to go through her paper, she didn't want to have anything to do with it. And she would procrastinate that task because the brain can't, you can't pull one over on the brain. It knows what you're trying to do. So you don't want to ask it to do so much. So narrow it down, make it really specific. Okay, the A in acronym is assign the steps. All right, so again, in the same vein of the brain needing us to be specific and making it easy, then we need to tell the brain exactly how we want to get it done, okay? This is the part where it's our job. If we're going to ask our brain to do a lot of work for us in habits, we have to do our part by setting it up correctly in the first place. It's like our brain's a giant computer and we have to do the job of programming it. So as we assign these steps, it's like creating the code for the program for the computer to run on. So exactly what do we mean with each of these different specific tasks that we just talked about. And again, I'm going to return to the examples we've already been talking about just so you can follow through each one of these ideas as we go through the PATH acronym. Hopefully that will help you as you're working on your own habit that you want to form. So as we think about exercise, and let's say we decide we want to go on a 20-minute walk every day. Okay, so what are the specific steps to that? First of all, we have to know what clothes are we going to wear. If you're going to change into something that's exercise-y, do you have the right kind of shoes? Do you have a good sports bra? Does that not matter to you? Are you going to just keep your regular clothes on that you're wearing right now? But what is that step? Do we need to change? The second thing is, do we know where we're going? Do we know how long a 20-minute walk is? Are we going to figure it out on our first time and set a timer for 10 minutes and then turn around halfway? Are we going to kind of plot out a little map that we're going to follow or a route we're going to take? So what does that look like? And specifically, what do you need to take with you? Are you going to want to grab your AirPods and your watch or your phone so that you can listen to the Life Organized podcast while you walk, or some music, or so you can call a friend? Or do you want the walk to be with a friend? And are you going to arrange that ahead of time and you make it consistent and easy so that you don't even need to think about it? You know that you leave at this time and you have your little routine of things that you do, that you put on these clothes, you grab this equipment, and you head out the door and meet your friend at the corner or whatever that's going to look like for you. But we want to assign those steps so that our brain's not having to figure it out in the moment, because in the moment, the battle is going to be lost. There's too many other things that are competing, and the brain will go for whatever's easiest, which is the thing you've already decided. Okay, let's just do it for a second with the kitchen family room. Let's say you've decided in your home that home base is going to be the thing that you're going to work on. I know we talk about home base almost every episode, but we can't say enough about how critical this routine is. So if you haven't started it yet, this is just another sign that it's time to start. And if you have started it, then you're high-fiving me right now because you know how important that task is to a clean and organized home. But in assigning the steps for a kitchen, family room, home base area that's nice and clean, we know we're number one, going to clear the counter. Number two, we're going to unload the dishwasher. Number three, we're going to load the dishwasher. And number four, pick up random miscellaneous clutter. And when our brain has that go-to order, it's going to automate it a lot more quickly, make it become a habit. So what are the steps if that is what your habit is to have a cleaner home, to keep up on home base? Okay, let's go to the work example, and hopefully this resonates, and if not, you know, just kind of think of another work task that you're being specific about. But in the example of sending out more regular emails, okay, what is that going to look like? Am I going to sit down and am I going to do one a week? Or am I going to sit down and am I going to do three a week? Or am I going to send out one a week and I'm going to work on it once a month and I'm going to do four emails, one for each week? Like, what are the steps that are associated? Do we first title the email, and then do we write it, and then do we come up with a subject line after, and then do we automate that email in our email software program? Okay, what are the steps for that? Let's spell that out for the brain. Okay, the next thing we're going to talk about with assigning the steps is if we want to be more present with our kids. And, you know, a quick example, something that I've been using is I like to be present with them every time they get home from school. And so it's a pretty simple little sequence of steps, but I stop what I'm doing. I go sit on the couch with them. I make it a point to look in their eyes, not in a creepy way, but just in a I'm here for you and present way, because it's amazing how easy it is to just get distracted and have your mind thinking of other things. So I look in their eyes and then I ask them specific questions about their day. So when I have this habit I want to create of being more present with my kids, my brain automatically can slip into that reference point and we can make it happen. So that's another great example of how we can assign the steps so that it's easier for our brain. And you know, just another quick example, if you were to tell your kids, I want you to go outside and clean the garage, are they going to know what to do? I mean, they're probably going to give you a lot of resistance, a lot of complaints, a lot of reasons why they can't, because that feels like a really big job and they don't really know exactly what it is you have in mind. But if instead of telling the kids, I need you to clean the garage, you said, I want you to go out, pick up all of the soccer balls and the baseballs, put them back in their containers, and then sweep up, the kids might still grumble, but the overwhelm of the task would be completely gone. And it would be such an easier thing for them to follow through on because they know what you're talking about. That's a great example of how our brain feels when we ask it to do something. So we really want to just outline those steps, kind of do them in the same order every time, because when our brain gets used to doing things in the same order, it automates it so much more quickly. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. The T in PATH stands for time, and this is such a critical piece of forming a good habit. We have to pick the time that we're going to do the habit, and we pick it consciously and proactively to be a time where our energy rhythm matches the nature of the habit we're wanting to form. So, for example, when we talk about exercise and we're going to go on a walk, we're going to want to choose a pretty high energy time for us so that we're naturally going to feel more like doing it. If we ask ourselves to go on a walk when we get home from work and we're always just really exhausted after work, we're going to be fighting against some pretty strong natural impulses to make that happen. So as we consider what time we are doing habits, we want to keep in mind our energy rhythms. Another important thing when we're picking the time for our habits is for us to think about our schedules. So you don't want to say that you're going to work on that email sequence at 10 o'clock in the morning if that's right when you're running preschool carpool or in between the baby's nap. So just keep in mind what's happening in the rest of your life and the rest of your schedule. And you're just looking for that sweet spot of when you have the right energy for the activity and when the rest of your schedule will allow it. This is really important. So make sure that you're thinking through this because you really will set yourself up for success with a new habit if you can keep this in mind. Okay, let's move on to the H in PATH. This is where we finally start talking about habits for real. But we're talking about it not in the sense that this is now a habit, but that we're leveraging existing habits for us to be able to really cement this habit in place. And so the H in PATH stands for habit hook. You've heard me mention this on the podcast before, but just a quick review. A habit hook is when we take an existing habit and we use it as leverage or pull a trigger so that when we finish that one habit, we are hooking a new habit or this new task that we're trying to implement into the old one so that our brain starts to associate the two. And what's so beautiful about this is because the brain automates everything so quickly, very naturally, maybe you're trying to make sure you floss your teeth and your habit hook is every time after you brush your teeth, you're going to floss your teeth. And after doing that several times, it will just start to feel instinctive. But the important thing here is that we have, again, that trigger that we're pulling so that we really are getting started on this task or this habit that we want to have, this new one that we want to implement, and we can really leverage those existing habits to be able to do that. All right, so what I want you to remember with habits is if you do the work to set your brain up right, your brain will then do all the rest of the work for you. You just have to take the time to program your brain. I love a quote by Charles Duhigg. He is the author of The Power of Habit. And he said, "This is how willpower becomes a habit, by choosing a certain behavior ahead of time and then following that routine with when an inflection point arrives." That inflection point is that habit hook. And I love the way that we have a little bit of willpower at the beginning of any new habit we want to implement. That willpower will start to run out at the end of a few weeks. But if we've set ourselves up for success by picking a specific task, assigning the steps, doing it at the right time, and implementing a habit hook, by the time the willpower fades out, that habit should be fading in and our brain can take over from there. So I hope this has gotten you excited, because any of the things that magic wand helped you see that you would like to do more consistently in your life can be done with habit, and we really have a lot more control over it than we think. Okay, so here we are. So what? We've listened to all of this. So what does this mean for you? Again, I love spending this time with you, but it's even better to have something to show for it. So for your so what for today, I'd really like you to decide what new habit you would like to create in your life. And I'd like to see you get specific about it. That's just the P in PATH. Pick a specific task. Pick that specific thing that you would like to do more consistently in your life. And now that you know the rest of the steps, I bet automatically your brain's going to go there, but it kind of has to start with just being really clear about what you want. So what do you want? How do you want your life to feel more organized or more peaceful? Or how can you feel more on top of things? I would love to know. Please reach out to me on JL the Happy Gal at Facebook or Instagram. Let me know what habit you're going to implement, and then let's work together and get it going for you through the acronym PATH. Okay, it's no fail, and you're going to love how it feels. All right, thanks so much for joining me. Can't wait to talk to you next time. You have a great day.